Hello, everyone.
Welcome to our podcast.
It's not how you start, but how you finish.
We are your co-hosts,
Solomon
and Jamila Jefferson.
We want you all to know,
no matter the cards we've been dealt in life or the mistakes we've made,
we will not allow our past to determine our future. We welcome Georgia's Height to share about the nonprofit organization, Second Chances First, he started and some of his story. Welcome, Brother Georgia's.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I'm so elated and honored to be with you all to share a little bit about Second Chances First.
Amen.
Can you briefly share a little bit about yourself personally and professionally?
Yeah, I'm 46 years old. I'm a father of four, grandfather of two. I am a nothing but a church boy, born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan, praise and worship leader, I guess you could say by trade, but also good in the kitchen. So I'm a jack of all trades, but my main thing that I do is activism work, and I'm a worship leader and a vocal coach.
Amen.
Amen. What was it that influenced you to start Second Chances First?
I and myself am a returning citizen, and I went to prison for retail fraud. And looking over my case, I should have not have went to prison for what I went to prison for. That was not prison time worthy. And as looking over my case and looking over some other cases and started to see that there's some things that there wasn't really right, and I could not understand what the inconsistencies were. Well, I got introduced to a documentary upon doing my own research in that documentary. It actually helped me to understand what my case and how significant my case was to the national spill on how mass incarceration kind of ensues. So I thought that that was just a good way to, a good springboard for me to figure that out. And then going through it myself, some of the situations and challenges myself, if I were going through them and I had a decent support cast behind me, imagine those who did not have a support cast or do not have a support cast, or their support cast is super weak. Imagine what they would be going through. So it just made sense.
Amen. Who did you share your vision with before starting the nonprofit?
Nobody.
Explain.
When you share, when God gives you a vision, you don't want to share it too soon.
Amen.
Because, of course, you know, Satan has his people out to do what he does, and that's to kind of abort the mission, abort the baby, if you will, for lack of a better acronym, if you will, abort that situation before it gets started good. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to protect the project at all costs. So I wrote it down. I wrote all of it down. And then after I wrote it down, I had a friend of mine who knew how to cultivate words and put them and organize them, had them do that for me and put it in that shape. And then I went and put cover designs and things of that nature. And then went and shared it with a few people after I got the paperwork done.
Amen. What are the main objectives of your nonprofit?
The main objective is to reduce recidivism, reduce homelessness. At least 65% of the people who come home from prison, who return back to prison, have a homeless problem. And that's because of the law. The law says that once you're convicted of a felony, you cannot rent from a public property or even from a private landlord at that, if they choose to say no. So there's a lot of people just wandering right now.
Wow.
And that's very unfortunate, but it's true, because I know that where I work at, we try to get around those issues with our clients, because it's real. Those are barriers.
Absolutely.
And those barriers are real, and they are out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they tell you that it's a vicious cycle. They tell you not to be around or in an environment of drugs and alcohol, but they'll be quick to send you to a homeless shelter. How do you do that? How do you stay away from the environment that they're sending you to? So, and then how do you climb yourself out of that? Because the programs, some people say that there's programs there, but when I'm around there and I'm in that situation right now, they're still asking you to pay a surmountable amount of money to stay at a place where there's no end. You're just going to go right back to being homeless, basically.
Wow.
Sorry to hear that. Wow. What were some of your greatest achievements at the nonprofit?
Greatest achievements was we did a karaoke event that did pretty good. And then right now, we have now partnered with the city of Detroit with our youth program. Honestly, our youth program has sprung forth a partnership with that. And we're looking to do a partnership right now because of our partnership with the city of Detroit. Our partnership now with the city of Grand Rapids is in talks and in the works. So those are my two greatest achievements and accomplishments right now, because we get a chance to talk to the young people before they get to the adult age.
Amen. Amen. So let me ask you this. What were some of the obstacles in starting the nonprofit?
Just getting people to believe.
Amen. Amen.
Just getting people to believe. I think when you have what they call a checkered past and they don't believe what it is that you have, they want to see, and they want to see you do the work before we actually get on board, or we want to see who's with you before we decide to sign on, because yeah, I don't know. And you've been to prison before, and I just don't know. And you know, I mean, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. I've got to outlive what I did. I can't even go back to the place where I was actually, because the crazy part about it, I was serving as a worship leader at a church. I won't name the name, but I was serving as a worship leader at the church. And when I came back, I didn't mind jumping back and getting involved. I really just wanted just to sit back and just kind of get some word. I didn't really want to do anything. I didn't want any pressure.
Right.
I didn't want any kind of pressure at all. I just wanted to kind of just let me ease my way back into it. Because sometimes your gift can be so much bigger and they can just see where you can just fit in, and it'll just be easy. And it's just, you know, it make it look real good. And so I just gave in and I said, okay, we'll go ahead and do it. And I crashed and burned. And I knew that I shouldn't have done that, because I wasn't ready for that type of responsibility. I just wasn't ready for it. And after that, I knew that this organization, God was pushing me into that direction. And when I finally found out, oh, that's why, because I wasn't ready to do this, but I was ready for this. They could hear me through this, not this, but this here. And I didn't understand it. So when I started moving in that direction, people did begin to hear, and I started understanding. Even my pastor at that particular time did not understand. And even the people didn't understand. So I had to get away. I had to do a lot. You know how God told Lot to get away from his family?
Amen.
You know? So I had to pull one of those, and I had to be away from the place where I thought was safe. I had to be away from that, where that place where I thought was safe is not really safe. It wasn't safe there for me to be, because they're going to still remember the old Julius from 10 years ago. They're not going to remember the Julius, or they're not going to see the Julius of the right now, because all I can see is the Julius of old. Right. I can't see the Julius right now. I can't see you in your present. And if you can't see me in my present, I know for sure you can't see me in my future.
Amen.
So I got to leave. I got to leave, rebuild, and then come back.
Amen.
Amen.
So what do you see for your nonprofit in the future?
Well, we're already teaming up with some people from some state representatives and some other organizations We're going to team up, and we're teaming up in Detroit to build a tiny house project for reentry. And we're going to have those people coming from the MDOC. Those participants will help build these tiny houses as a way of giving back to the community, number one. And then number two, it's going to give the community a sense of security that, hey, these people are not coming here to take, they're coming here to build, and they're coming here to rebuild. And so we're going to rebuild our community, but at the same time, give back to the community, that they felt that may have broken. And we're going to build the communities, because these communities can be built from the ground up.
Amen. Amen. One thing I recognize is that even for us with our reentry program, we have naysayers. You're always going to have people who don't understand. But the good thing about God is he plant people into your path to help you fulfill the vision. Because even with the program that I work with, we start off with one house, and God blessed us with the revenues to purchase another house, which we've already got it up to the capacity right now. So God will provide.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. It's ironic that you say that. I have a friend that's a pastor, and we've been talking for a long time over the years about some of the things that we were going to be doing. And just about a week ago, we had both of us had a big milestone. I ended up grabbing a potential partnership with a organization that I had been running from for a while. And I was a little bit nervous about attaching myself to. But at this point, I believe it's a good place to do so. So I'm going to, I do have a meeting with that person and with that organization. And at the same time, my best friend who's pastoring here in the city caught himself another partnership, a similar partnership with what he's talking about doing as well. And so we've hit that milestone together, and I'm elated and excited about what's coming next for not only the city of Grand Rapids, but the surrounding areas, because we're planted in Muskegon. We're planted in the Detroit area. We're also planted in Flint and Saginaw areas as well. So we're planted in a few areas here in the state of Michigan, and I'm really excited about it.
Amen.
Amen. And the population you serve, I know you had mentioned juveniles. Is it men and women? Is it just men? And where do you get your referrals from?
It's men and women. And at this point right now, we're getting our referrals through word of mouth. But right now we're in talks with the MDOC of getting some referrals through the MDOC. And this is one of the reasons why we are getting properties and trying to gain property. So we're going to have a fundraiser here within the next couple of weeks. Coming weeks, we're going to do a karaoke fundraiser here. Just come on out and show your chops. Sing your greatest Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey tune out. Pay a couple of dollars and those proceeds will go to purchasing our housing off of the land bank. And then we'll be able to kind of put our foot on the gas and move a little bit quicker, swiftly, to get our referrals from the MDOC, because they're waiting on us actually right now.
Amen. Can you explain what MDOC stands for those that may not know?
I'm so sorry. The Michigan Department of Corrections. So anyone that's coming from the Michigan Department of Corrections, any prison in Michigan, any prisons that are around, like as I stated, they're around Muskegon, Grand Rapids, Lansing, Detroit, Saginaw, Flint areas, you're more than welcome to give us a call. Look us up via Facebook. We're on Facebook. Our website is being rebuilt at the moment because of COVID. It kind of crashed, so we had to go back and rebuild it again. So it's being rebuilt right now. But right now, follow us on Facebook. We have a decent following on Facebook. Give us our numbers and our emails are on there. Feel free to give us a shout out, whatever you need.
Amen. All right. This is such a blessing. Wow. Praise God. So when y'all get the housing, will it be for men and women separately? Or how does that vision or? Okay.
Yes. It will be men and women separately. I will deal with men, and then I have one of my partners, and she will be dealing with the ladies. I do believe in ladies dealing with ladies. I'm not a woman, so I cannot talk to a woman and tell her.
All right. So we're going to wrap up. Are there any practical tools, resources that you feel led to share that could be helpful to those listening based on what we've been already discussing that you haven't shared yet?
Yes, I do believe that resume writing skills, interviewing skills, and being able to speak fluently about your crime. And it's going to be difficult to do, but you're going to have to learn how to turn that into a positive. It's going to be challenging to do, but we teach that. That is something that we definitely teach. We're going to be teaching that a little bit. And one of our courses called life skills. And we're just going to talk about that. A lot of times people just talk about life skills as if it's just a little small type deal, but it's not something that you're going to use every day. And some of those things you don't get a chance to see, you don't get a chance to use on a daily basis. We're going to be able to teach those. We're going to start pulling those out of you, because you got to get that therapy as well. Because like I said, that prison mentality can be really, really rough on the brain. And yes, we want to kind of ease that from that person, right? We don't want to push the stress on them. We want to ease the stress of that. There's already going to be challenges, but them not knowing how to talk and being able or messing around and saying the wrong thing and not knowing that they said the wrong thing. Yeah. We want to kind of have mock interviews and just even in casual conversations, how they can, I don't want them to self-sabotage themselves, talk themselves right out of a blessing,
Amen.
Amen. And life skills are so important, like saying, learning how to budget, like, you know, I know you don't have to be incarcerated or returning citizen to get help with that, because some people struggle with that just in general. So
absolutely. Life skills,
like you said, resume writing, how to articulate things, like things that, you know, some people may take for granted, but it's very important in order for you to be successful. So excellent.
Absolutely. I have one more thing I want to talk about, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We do have a, when I talked about the juvenile justice system program, there's a reason behind that. And I would be remiss not to speak on this while I had the opportunity to. In memory of my son, his name is Julius Jr., who was murdered April 14th of 2023.
Mm.
And his younger brother, which was my baby son, was shot along with him as they walked down the street. On the way home, there were two cars pulled up and just opened fire. It was a targeted incident. But I started that because there are kids that are not being heard. These are reasons why we have these violent outbursts, and such violent outbursts is because these kids are not being heard. These kids are coming to school soiled, dirty clothes, dirty shoes, unshowered, unkempt, not the proper tools to learn, hungry. You can't learn in those type of conditions. You can't learn in that type of environment. So we started a part of the organization, and that's called the Reset Youth Community House. And that will be eventually where the kids will be a drop-in center where the kids can come in and get counseled, clean clothes, toiletries, a hot meal. Doing this, we'll have a place for them to crash. And it's just going to be that thing where they can come in and drop in as many times as they need to. And then it gives them somebody to talk to when they need to have somebody to talk to, when they need somebody to listen to them. Amen. And we give them resources. We give them a place, and we give them things to do. And that keeps them off the streets. Lets them know, hey, this is a place where they can come in and drop in, where they could do this. And we want to put that kind of program in our schools as an after school program as well. So I wanted to kind of give that plug in there as well, because I think that the more we begin to talk about the kids and get the kids involved, then we won't have to worry about these adults going into prison.
Amen.
What a blessing. We're sorry for the loss of your son.
Yes, I'm very sorry to hear that.
And your other son.
Thank you so much.
God, that Amen. You're using that story or that situation to inspire others, which is such a blessing, because it's such a need. You know, I think at times people say, oh, I don't know why they can't get their kids together and this and that. And you can have well-off families, and kids are going to be kids and teenagers. But then also you do have other guardians and families that are struggling because they may have someone incarcerated. And so you have grandma, or they're in foster care, or it's just a lot of different social factors that we have no clue. So we can't judge. We just have to, like, as you're doing, the solution with serving those in need, which is such a blessing.
Yeah, I think in our community, we have it bad. You know, we got this thing bad. Well, so-and-so and so-and-so kids, they just bad. And, you know, this, that, and the third. When you have the opportunity to do something about it, and if you're not going to do anything about it, just be quiet. Have a seat.
Amen.
Don't down talk and don't downplay the next person if you're not going to do nothing about it. If you're not going to do nothing about it, go on about your business. Let somebody else let us take care of it that care about the situation, so that we don't keep having these situations in the community. And then if you're not going to help, then you don't get to speak on it either.
Right,
you know,
right,
just
right.
Stay at home, you know, and that's cool too. That way you're not in the way, and you're not putting your mouth on something that, you know, you don't have any, you're not contributing to, you're not contributing the solutions to. So I think our community has issue sometimes with understanding how to give critiques and constructive criticism, as opposed to, how do I say it? Johnny and Larry, you know, they over there doing this and doing that. Hey, okay, well, look, well, let's go over there and take them over there let's take them down there. Hey, Julius is down there, man. Hey, take them down there to the Reset House. Take them down there right quick. Is it open?
Right.
You know, rather than, you know, casting them away and throwing them away. That's another thing that we got. We got something coming on. Do you guys remember Teen Summit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a show on BET a long time ago. It used to be called
Teen. It was a long
mm-hmm. time yeah. ago called Teen Summit. And a lot of kids used to watch that show. And it was a show that the kids were freely able to speak on today issues.
Right.
In their voice, where they're being heard. And somebody reached out to me and said, hey, do you remember that show? Maybe we should recreate a show, something similar to that. And I thought that would be dope. And I think we're getting ready to do that as well with the kids, because the kids need a voice.
Right.
They need to talk, and we need to have some other kids to present that type of presentation to them. Because if we don't present that to them, and they don't see other kids, or they don't see other kids doing that, then guess what? They're not going to be interested. So I don't want to be the one with the gray beard all out in front of everybody, you know. And I told him that too. Hey, look, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be him. I want somebody else to do that. That is younger.
Right.
That you can see. Well, we want you, Mr. J. No, that's cool. I'm in certain places. If I don't have to be up front for this one, this is for y'all.
Right,
and I
right.
want you all to be able to have that talk. I want, that's the talk that I want y'all to have. I don't want you all to have a weird, just a weird way of, you know, I want you to have something different. I want you to be able to let it flow organically, because, you know, when adults are in the room, y'all, we were kids. We didn't say everything we wanted to say. We said,
no, you're not going to.
Yeah, right. So I want you're them right. to talk amongst themselves.
Freely. Right.
And now guess what? We as adults can sit in the back, and we should be taking notes. We going to school. Time for us to go back to school.
But time has changed.
Mm-hmm. Because now we're listening to what they need. Now guess what? We're the adults. We got to go provide the resources. They telling us what we need, what they need. Now we got to go get it.
Right. That's right.
And go bring That's it right. to them and say, okay, now that we got this, now I need y'all to go be an influence over the rest of them.
Amen.
Amen.
And I love it. I keep hearing the theme reset, and I know where we worship and members are at our church. The theme this year is reset, you know, and the scripture that correlates to that is Isaiah 43 verses 18 through 21. And from the International Children Bible, starting at verse 18, the Lord says, forget what happened before. Do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert. I will make rivers in the dry land. Even the wild animals will be thankful to me. The wild dogs and owls will honor me. They will honor me when I put water in the desert. They will honor me when I make rivers in the dry land. I will do this to give water to my people, the ones I choose. In the last verse, 21, these are the people I made, and they will sing songs to praise me. So reset, you know, renewing, like, it's such a blessing to hear, you know, all of the work that you're doing. Praise God.
Amen.
It's ironic that you use that scripture, because that was the scripture that God gave me.
Amen.
Wow.
For reset.
Amen.
I like the King James version. He says, behold, I shall do a new thing.
New thing.
Amen.
And it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? And I stopped there. And I said this, and it's twofold, because reset for the youth is just resetting the community and resetting that mindset of the community. But we use it for the reentry, because initially Second Chances First was named Reset. That was the name of the whole organization, Reset. And instead, we put it Second Chances First, and we use the slogan, push the reset button on your life.
Mm. Amen. Come on now.
So now you can, because what it is that the hope we need to give hope now. And when people are in prison, they don't have that hope. So what we need to we want to give them hope. Hey, there's a reset button that you can push. When we was little kids, and I use this all the time, and even on your phones, when we was little kids and we used to mess up on the game, what did we used to do? We at home reset. By ourselves, you press the reset button and the whole thing start all over again. Now you get a chance to go through it and know where you made your mistake at now.
Right, right.
You know where you made your mistake. Okay, I'm going to push the reset button. Let me start over.
All right, now. Lessons learned. Amen.
Now you take that and you reset the, you push the reset button on your life. And now, hey, I'm not going that direction no more because I know it's over there.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 So this was awesome. We just thank God. We learned so much and we just are grateful unto the Lord. You know, if you feel at this time, feel free as led to share any of your contact information or any other information that you may have not shared during our discussion. You can do so at this time before we close.
Absolutely. You can reach me at secondchancesfirst@gmail.com. You can reach us on give us an email. You can reach us at on Facebook as well. And my number is already attached there. My number and email is already attached there. My personal email, heightjulius@gmail.com, heightjulius@gmail.com. You can reach me there and reach me at any given time if you need anything, anything for reentry, anything to come and speak at any given time. Feel free to give me a call or give me an email. We'll reach back out to you as soon as we can.
Praise the Lord. Well, my brother, we want to thank you for your time, man. We thank you for your energy. And we, most important, we thank God for using you in the way that he does, because I know firsthand that this work is not easy. It takes endurance. It takes vigilance. And it also takes money. So let's keep it real. So let's just keep, we're going to continue to keep you in our prayers, my brother. And we want to thank you for your time. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Talk to you later.
So no matter the cards we've been dealt in life or the mistakes we have made, it does not define who we are or where we are going. It is just a part of our story and the journey that God has us on to not only learn from these different experiences, but to sometimes be able to help support, encourage, and inspire others who may be going through similar situations. My husband and I have learned this to be true because of our different life experiences, which have led us in wanting to continue to share our stories along with others to know it is not how you start, but how you finish.